Take your Bibles, please. Turn to 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. We're going to read verses 4 through 9. And then we're going to jump right into the lesson. I'm going to try to get you out right at or just a little before 8 o'clock tonight. Boy, aren't you glad it's raining out there and not snow? My in-laws have over 18 inches of snow on the ground right now. And I'm glad it's them and not me. All right, 1 Peter chapter 2. Let's start reading in verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. Wherefore also it is contained in the Scripture, Behold, I lay in Sion a chief cornerstone, elect, precious, and he that believeth on him shall not be confounded. And to you, therefore, believe, he is precious. But unto them which be disobedient, the stone which the builders disallowed, the same is made the head of the corner, and a stone of stumbling, and a rock of offense, even to them which stumble at the word, being disobedient, whereunto they were also appointed. Now watch this. But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now, I'll ask you to turn to one other verse. Go to Revelation 1. Revelation 1, just a few pages to the right there. Revelation 1, we're going to read one verse here, and then we're going to jump right into the lesson. Revelation 1, verse number 6, And hath made us kings and priests unto God and his Father. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. Now, we started 2 weeks ago talking about the topic of separation. Now, that word separation scares a lot of Baptist people, scares a lot of Christian people. You're probably thinking, okay, he's going to start ripping on this, ripping on that, start talking about this, his pet peeves. That's what we found out is totally opposite of what separation is. Separation is much different. Tonight, when a person gets saved, let me say it this way, much more happens when you get saved than just going to heaven when you die, avoiding hell when you die, and having your sins forgiven. There is a whole lot more that takes place. Salvation is far more complex in its structure, not what you do to get it, but how complex it is. Let me show you what I mean. And tonight we're going to talk about probably one of the least taught, most misunderstood parts of the Christian life. Turn to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, I want you to see this. John chapter 1, and I want you to read verse 12. You follow along with me. You know it, many of you. John 1, 12. But as many as received him. Stop, look at me. That means those of us that got saved, right? But as many as received him, watch this, to them gave he, what's the next word? Circle that word, power. Underline it. To them gave he power to become the sons of God. Even to them that believe on his name. Now watch this. God says when we get saved, we get the power to become sons of God. If you have elderly family, maybe you have a family member or someone that you are a caregiver for, and they sign over a waiver to you called a power of attorney, right? That gives you the legal right to make decisions either with their estate, their health, depending on which power of attorney it is. God says here in John chapter 1, the word power there is a legal term which literally means power of attorney. But as many as received him, to them gave he the power of attorney to become the sons of God. Do you realize that in God's eyes, once you get saved, you are as legally his son and have as much access to God's inheritance as Jesus Christ does? You actually become equal in inheritance level with Jesus Christ because of the power that God legally signed over to you and that you have because of salvation. Now, watch me. Jesus was and is our high priest. Okay? If you were here on Easter, we talked about that a little bit. He died as the Lamb of God. He resurrected as our high priest. Now, when we get saved, the Bible says, Revelation chapter 1, 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 9, that we actually become priests with him. Okay? Now, we're going to talk tonight about the separation of the priesthood of the believers. Now, listen to this very carefully. Because we become priests, according to the scripture, it gives us direct access to God. You have the same relationship with God available to you as Jesus Christ has. You have the same access to God as Jesus Christ does. Because he was the eternal high priest, that's why when he died, and I've said it before, the veil of the temple was rent from top to bottom, made it available for every man because we became the priests of God. We no longer needed the high priest there to look ahead and show us what Jesus would do. Jesus fulfilled it and said, I don't need you anymore. And you actually become a priest of God. That literally means you are set apart as the priesthood was in the Old Testament. Let me say this. I'll say it again till the day I die. And I have not backed off, never will, because it's right. There is no such thing as Old Testament law, New Testament grace. Let me say it again. There's no such thing as Old Testament law and New Testament grace. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. That's Calvinism. It's something Mr. Schofield promotes in the Schofield Reference Bible in his notes. It's wrong. Noah did not get saved by works. Genesis 8 says, but Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. They got saved through faith and by grace. Nobody got saved by the law. Everybody gets saved the same way. Here's the difference. If that microphone thing piece right there is Calvary, this is the Old Testament. They were looking ahead at what Jesus would do. That's how they got saved. We look back at what Jesus did do, but we all get saved the same way. One believed that Jesus would come, be born of a virgin, live a sinless life, die on the cross, shed his blood, and resurrect from the dead. One believes that he did do it. That's the only difference. There's no such thing as law and grace. What happened to the time before the law? Do you know that there's almost 2,000 years of history before the law? So what about those folks? How'd they get saved? Was nobody ever saved before Noah? You realize that the flood never took place till almost 1,700 years after Eden? So what happened to the 2.5-3 billion people on the face of the earth? They all died and went to hell because they didn't have anything? That's called Calvinism, and it's wrong. Get it out of your mind. The Old Testament is as applicable today as the New Testament is. We've had a bunch of Southern Baptists and a bunch of Protestants that have drawn us into this mess of, well, the Old Testament's law and the New Testament's grace. Poppycock. Bunch of junk. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Guess what? Old Testament came out of the mouth of God too. If that's the case, then Genesis 1 and creation shouldn't be in there because it's under the law. Now, that I got that off my chest. When I say the word priesthood, you think of the Catholics and the Protestants walking around in their robes and their phylacteries. singing holy, holy, holy in their monasteries and all that other garbage. That is not what the priesthood is all about. The foundation of all separation hinges on this one topic tonight. It really does. Because you have to understand, when you got saved, you became a priest of God and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. Now, listen to me very carefully. Priests, number one, were part of a bloodline. Okay? Priests in the Old Testament were part of a bloodline. You find out there were 12 tribes in Israel. Okay? Of those 12 tribes, one of those tribes was chosen by God to be the priestly tribe. Anybody want to take a guess which tribe it was? The Levites. Exactly. The tribe of Levi. There you go. All right? I didn't bring a dress for him to wear tonight, so he's safe. There was a bloodline involved in being a Levite. Does anybody know who the first high priest was? What was that? Nope. First one recorded is Aaron. Okay? Aaron was the first one recorded. Now, Melchizedek is an Old Testament appearance of Jesus Christ, and we won't get into that right now. Someday later we will. But Aaron was the first of the priests. Now, listen to me very carefully. In the Old Testament, they had to be from the tribe of Levi, or they did not qualify to be a priest. In the New Testament, listen to this, when you get saved, what do you get saved by? The blood. You are regeneticized, you're regened by the blood of Jesus Christ. Guess what? When you got saved, the royal priesthood blood now flows through your veins because of salvation. That's why Mr. MacArthur's an idiot when he was preaching that it takes no blood for salvation. It's only the death of Jesus. No, we've got to have a bloodline to the priesthood for the believer. You have to have the shedding of blood for the remission of sin, but you also have to have the right bloodline to be a priest of God. And if we are priests of God, then we have no right to go to God in prayer. Now listen to me very carefully. All of the things that we do to separate outwardly does not make us separated. It is the bloodline. Go to Romans chapter 2 for a moment. I am going to do my best not to lose you. I realize for some of you, well, for all of us, this is extremely deep. But for some, it's really deep. But I promise you, it'll help you. Romans chapter 2, let's start reading together in verse number 16. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ according to my gospel, behold, thou art called a Jew, and restest in the law, and makest thy boast of God, and knowest his will, and approvest the things that are more excellent, being instructed out of the law, and art confident in that thou art thyself a guide of blind and light them which are in the darkness. Now, skip down to verse number 24. For the name of God is blasphemed among the Gentiles through you, as it is written, for circumcision verily profiteth, if thou keep the law. But if thou be a breaker of the law, thy circumcision is made uncircumcision. Therefore, if the uncircumcision keep the righteousness of the law, shall not his uncircumcision be counted for circumcision? And shall not the uncircumcision, which by nature, if it fulfill the law, judge thee, who by the letter of circumcision, does transgress the law? Watch this. For he is not a Jew, which is one outwardly. Neither is that circumcision, which is the outward flesh. But he is a Jew, which is one inwardly. A circumcision that is of the heart, in the spirit, and not in the letter, whose praise is not of men, but of God. Now watch me. And I will tread lightly here, but I must say this. I have heard Baptist preachers wrongly preach that the Bible was only written to the Jew. The Bible was not written only to the Jew. It was written to every human being. If you believe it's only written to the Jew, then you believe Paul wrote it, you believe Stephen wrote it, you believe David wrote it, and you believe Moses wrote it, and God didn't write it. Because God gave it to all men. It was not given as a directive only to the Jew. Now, he enlightened it through the Jewish people. That's why he told them to get off their blessed assurance and take it to everybody. But it wasn't only written just for them, just so you know. And the Bible says here, it talks about circumcision. And the Bible says, well, if you're circumcised and live by the law, then does that make you a Jew? Because that is a Jewish custom. And it does not. He said, you're not a Jew because you do something outwardly and an outward work of the flesh. You're a Jew because of what you are inwardly by blood. Guess what? When you got saved, you became a Jew by blood. You got the bloodline of Jesus Christ. Now, listen very carefully. Number two, God chose the tribe of Levi as the priestly tribe. It started with Aaron. Go all the way back, Exodus 28. Told you you're going to use your Bibles a lot in the next many weeks, but hang in there. God tells Moses, and he's telling Aaron what to do. Watch this. And take unto thee Aaron thy brother and his sons with him, for among the children of Israel, that he may minister unto me in the priest's office, even Aaron, Nadab, Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar, Aaron's sons. Now watch this. God said Aaron's going to fulfill the role of priest in the priest's office. Okay? In other words, he gave him a priestly office. Then they go into the different parts of the priesthood. We'll get into that in a moment. The duties of the priests were numerous. Everybody look at me for a moment. Do you realize that if you were part of the tribe of Levi, you were a priest, whether you preached or not? The preaching and the standing before the people, there was only a select few that did that. But everybody in the Levitical tribe were priests. Watch this. In other words, they were the ones that set up what we call the tabernacle. Tabernacle was that great big giant portable church building, kind of like a great big tent with two different rooms in it, had an outer courtyard, had all kinds of furniture with it. And the Levitical tribe was in charge of not only making that, but the upkeep of that, setting it up, tearing it down, making sure all the furniture was taken care of, moving the furniture, God's way, not man's way, God's way. They were in charge of keeping it clean, inside and out. Now, do you know what they did in the courtyard of the tabernacle? That's where they did all the sacrifices. Ladies, you know what it's like when your husband brings that deer home and flops it on the counter. Can you imagine how many sacrifices went through that courtyard on a daily basis? Do you know that people brought sacrifices every day to the tabernacle at certain times of the years? And there's no way they could butcher that many animals right away, so they had to keep them penned up. There was also places there where people brought of the fruit of the ground. They brought their flour. They brought their grapes. They brought the first fruits of everything, part of their tithes. They took care of all the tithes. They fed the Levites from what came in. In other words, that was the grocery store. They had to keep track of all that. They had to have the right amount of sacrifices. They had to, when you pen up that many animals, animals have exhaust that needs cared for as well. Amen? I didn't know how else to say that. But some of it needs cared for, amen? They had to take care of that. If you've never been around animals, butchering animals that are live like that, when you cut their throats, the blood's not the only fluid that flows. Other things take place. It's a messy situation. You had to have men that were out cutting wood so that they could do the burnt sacrifices. You had to have people cleaning up after all the ashes and cleaning up the altars. And they had to make all of their own incense. And they burned incense 24 hours a day on the altar of incense between the holy place and the Holy of Holies. The priests that would put the incense in their censers for the different things that were going on as a picture of the prayers of the saints going up. They made every one of those. Matter of fact, Nadab and Abihu made strange fire by them, and God killed them because they used the wrong formula. And I'm not going to take time to show you, but if you went into the book of Leviticus and Numbers, you'll find out that some of the duties were, they actually, the Levites were the medical technicians. They were the ones in charge of what the Bible calls the apothecaries or the drugstores. They were the ones that took care of the sick people. They served the people. They were your medical physicians, the doctors and the nurses, and they took care of distributing medications. It also talks about confectionaries. Anybody know what a confectionery is? That's a bakery, amen. Ooh, glory to God. That was part of the priestly duty. They were in charge of making perfumes. They were in charge of all the music. They were responsible for all of the music for the children of Israel. They had to clean up all the instruments used for the sacrificing and the temple and tabernacle and all of that stuff. They were in charge of keeping the grass mown. They were in charge of making sure everything was kept nice. They were in charge of the bathroom facilities. And most of it was outhouses, but God didn't want it just laying around. There was things that needed done with it, and they were in charge of that. They were in charge of keeping fresh water there. They were in charge of all of the big feasts. You had the Feast of the Passover. You had the Feast of the Tabernacles, Feast of the Trumpets. You had major feasts where you were feeding millions of people that they were in charge of. You see, being a priest was far more than just what you think it is. They were there to count and collect and take care of all the tithes and distribute it amongst the people. Folks, that is some of the duties of the priests. Sounds a lot like church work, doesn't it? See, when you got saved, you might not be up here preaching or teaching in a Sunday school class or preaching in a junior church someday, but you're still a priest. There's still duties that need done. When Brother Jimmy and Erica were here yesterday mowing the grass, they were performing the duty of being a priest. They were mowing the grass. Yeah, that's to keep the house of God looking like it should look. Amen? And boy, you ought to see that big old boy on that mower going down the side of that retention pond out there. He scared me to death. I couldn't look. Amen? Thinking, oh man, he's going to flip that thing. Whew. Now, wait a minute. The job of a priest was not to get up and walk around in a robe singing holy, holy, holy and sprinkling spoofu dust and holy snot water everywhere. The job of the priest was to do the work of the Lord and take care of the people. They were to serve the people. It was just like church work is today. Just like we need bathrooms cleaned and floors vacuumed and we need all that kind of stuff cared for. We need to make sure everything's upkept and the yard mowed and make sure that the baptistry gets done. Amen, Brother Smith? God bless him. He and his wife take care of that. They take care of the baptistry changing clothes and the towels and all that kind of stuff and making sure all these things get done. The trash gets taken out and gets taken away and all that kind of stuff. Folks, that is the job that we are to do as priests. I talked to a man recently, and I said, I got people that just volunteer and show up. I said, if it doesn't get done, they just say, preacher, I'll do it. He said, you don't have to make them do it? I said, no, I don't make anybody do anything. I said, I'm the only one that makes me do anything. I said, if it doesn't get done, I'll do it myself. I said, I'm not afraid of it. He said, we're not used to that. I said, isn't that the way it's supposed to be? He said, I don't know, never heard that before. I thought, how sad. So, the priests were part of a bloodline. God chose the tribe of Levi as the priests in the New Testament. I listed about 20, 25 different jobs that they had. Now we're getting down to the good part, amen? We are no longer Levitical priests. Let me make that statement again. We are no longer Levitical priests, but we are priests of God like Jesus. Turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 7. You want to get Brother Bush fired up, call me a Protestant. That makes me mad. I'm not a Protestant. I'm a Baptist. Baptists didn't come from the Catholic Church. Protestants came from the Catholic Church. Just so you know. Protestant movement didn't take place till the middle 1500s. Jesus was baptized by a guy named John the Baptist. That was 330 years before there ever was a Catholic Church. Hebrews chapter 7, look at verse number 9. As I may say so, Levi also, who receiveth tithes, paid tithes in Abraham. For he was yet in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. If therefore perfection were by the Levitical priesthood, for under it the people received the law, what further need was there that another priest should rise after the order of Melchizedek and not be called after the order of Aaron? Watch this. For the priesthood being changed, circle that word changed, there is made also made of necessity a change also of the law, for he of whom these things are spoken pertaineth to another tribe, of which no man gave attendance at the altar. For it is evident that our Lord sprang out of Judah, of which tribe Moses spake nothing concerning the priesthood. Look at me. Jesus was born from the tribe of Judah, not Levi. One reason the Jews to this day don't believe that Jesus was the Messiah is because he came from Judah and not Levi. They don't believe he was the high priest. That's why they don't believe in salvation by grace. Because they don't believe the job of the priesthood has been fulfilled fully yet. Now listen to me very carefully. If you went to Hebrews chapter 9, we won't take time to turn there because I got to hurry. And I could make this, and I, believe me, I could just take this one part and do two Wednesday nights on this one thing. God said, I am going to change the Levitical priesthood because there will be people that follow the Levitical priesthood thinking that the priesthood is what gets them saved. Sound familiar? He said, Jesus is not going to come from Levi. I'll pull him out of Judah so that I can change it, because he only has to come one time, do one sacrifice, and it's done. He is the eternal, after the order of Melchizedek, high priest, and we don't need him to make the sacrifices daily over and over and over and over and over again, because Jesus came and fulfilled the whole role of the priesthood. And you are not a priest after the order of the Levites. You are after the order of Jesus through Judah. Now, some of you that have Protestant roots are aching right now. That's okay. The Catholics, the Protestants, just so you know, that's your Methodists, your Lutherans, your Episcopalians, your Orthodox, your Lutherans, your all that kind of mess, Christian church, all that came out of, the Protestant means the protesters. They were against what the Catholic Church was doing as far as in the government. They didn't want to be involved in the government, so they protested it. Do you know that Martin Luther, when he protested, do you know that Martin Luther killed Baptists? He hated the Baptist Church. He was a killer of Baptists. John Wesley, God bless him, the old Methodists used to preach salvation. Now, a lot of times they started adding works to it, but they came out of the Catholic Church. They were the most radical of the Protestants, but guess what? They're a bunch of liberals now. I got to tell this story. The other day I was at the house, and I was putting something in the back of my truck. My daughter was helping me for a second, and this old feller come down the road. And I mean, he was an old feller with a cane, and he was moving out like this. And he hollers at me, "Hey!" I said, "Hey." He said, "How long you been here?" I said, "In this spot or living here?" Wasn't quite sure what he was asking, you know. He said, "Oh, how long you been living here?" I said, "About 11 years. He said, "I thought so." He said, "I met you one time, a long time ago." He said, "You're a preacher, aren't you?" yes, sir. And I walked to the end of my driveway, and he looked. He said, you two make a cute couple. It was my daughter. I said, well, that's my daughter. He said, oh. Thinking, man, your eyesight's really bad, dude. You're hurting bad. He said, I used to be a preacher, too. I said, really? He said, yeah. He said, I was an old Methodist preacher. He said, do you preach the gospel? Put a pointed finger in my face. I said, yes, sir, I do. Death, burial, resurrection of Jesus, saved by grace through faith alone, not by works, no baptism, no church membership, no nothing. He said, bless God, that's the kind of preaching I used to do. He took that old cane in one hand, and he's going like that with the other one, thinking, I got me an old shouting Methodist. He's preaching with Bob Jones Sr., amen? I mean, he's an old codger. He said, you got a card? He said, I used to pray for you by name, but I lost your card and I forgot your name. I ran in the house, got me a gospel track, amen? I handed it to him. He looked at that thing, he turned it over, he said, that thing's got the gospel on it. I said, yes, sir, it does. He said, that's the way I used to preach it. I said, yes, sir, that's all we are. He said, that's all you are. I said, that's all I am. He was so excited. Now, there was a day when the Methodists were just about just like us. Couldn't tell them apart. Now, I wouldn't give you a plug nickel for a Methodist. Matter of fact, he said, my church went belly up when they went back to that United Methodist garbage. He said, Methodist church died with that mess. He said, they went back to the Catholic way. I said, yes, sir, that's what makes Baptists so much different because we didn't come out of the Catholics. He said, you're right, I found that out too late in life. Whew. Now, folks, we didn't come out of the Catholic Church. When we became priests at salvation, the need came for us to do the work of God. Now, listen to me. That means God sets you apart to do the work of the Lord. That's called separation. The theologian would call it sanctification. Sanctification means once you got saved, you got set apart as a priest of God to be used for the work of God. That's what sanctification means, set apart. In other words, you were sanctified because you became a priest of God. Listen to me very carefully here. God wants us for himself. Turn to Deuteronomy 32. I'm going to use your Bibles for two more verses here. Deuteronomy 32. I want you to pay attention. I'm almost done here. Deuteronomy 32. Let's look at verse number 8. When the Most High, notice that those are capitalized, that means God, divided the nations, their inheritance, when he separated, watch that, he separated the sons of Adam, he set the bounds of the people according to the number of the children of Israel. For the Lord's portion is his people. Jacob is the lot of his inheritance. Now, turn with me just a few chapters over, Joshua chapter 13. Joshua chapter 13. Let's look at verse number, verse 33. But unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. Look at me. Joshua is taking the people into the promised land. He's dividing the land out, but the land of Israel was only divided into 11 parts. Not 12. And there was 12 tribes. God says here, but unto the tribe of Levi, Moses gave not any inheritance. Watch this. The Lord God of Israel was their inheritance, as he said unto them. Whew. Folks, do you realize you might not have much here, but God is your inheritance? God wants to be your inheritance. He says, they've got their land. They've got their mountains. They've got their valleys. They've got their rivers and streams and brooks. They've got their riches. But Levi, I'm going to give you me. I'm going to give you everything I got. You won't get it here, but when you get it, look out. Everybody's going to say, wow, I wish I had that. Let me ask you a question. Is God enough for you? Is God enough for you? God does not want you to be penniless, poor, and scraping for the rest of your life. I don't believe that. I believe God wants you to enjoy the nice things that you can enjoy. I also believe that the more you serve Him and the more you do the work of the Lord as a priest. By the way, very few of them ever worked at the tabernacle all day long as a priest. Very few were ever preachers. Not very many got to work there all the time. By the way, how'd you like to be the guy that was shoveling all day long? Man, I'm a priest of God. All I do is shovel manure all day long. Man, what a job for a priest. You know how much manure I've shoveled at a church? I've cleaned up barf. I've unplugged commodes. I've seen it all, done it all. I can't tell you I've been as excited about it. Amen, Brother Lopez? He's cleaned more potties than any human being in a church building. Trust me. He's cleaned up more of our messes than we care to think about. Can I tell you something, though? Just as much of the priesthood as standing here preaching is. Miss Janine cleans around here. Brother Kistner came in today and vacuumed all the carpets in here. That's a job of the priest, amen? That's what God wants. You don't hear about the guys that were shoveling the stuff out the dung gate, amen? But they were the priests. Imagine how bad it would have been had they not done their job. I can imagine as Joshua divided the land, the Levites said, where do we go? Where do we go? Where do we go? And Joshua said, oh, we're going to take part of you over here and part of you in every tribe, and God is going to be your inheritance. Whew. I don't know about you, but that just does something for me. He wants us to invest in the future so we can enjoy our investment eternally. He wants us to have direct access to be with Him and to serve Him. That is the purpose of separation. If you'll listen to me for 60 seconds. The average Christian says, I'll separate in some areas, but I'm holding on to this because I don't want God to have this. I don't care what anybody else says. This is mine. And to that degree, God can't help you. And to that degree, you limit yourself in the work of God. Period. God separates us as priests so we can be with Him and serve Him. You don't get close to God living ungodly. Did you hear what I said? I talked to a man recently. He worked as an assistant pastor for a while, got out of the ministry. Bitter. Not a bad man, just got a little bitter. Well, the man that he used to work for has called him and asked for a meeting and wants to rehire him, and he doesn't want to do it. I said, Doc, I'm going to ask you a question. I said, are you in any shape to be in the ministry full-time spiritually right now? He said, not at all. I said, so what's your answer going to be? He told me. I said, good, because you don't need to be in the ministry till you're ready. I said, but it also shows you why that man has gone through so many staff members, because if he's going to ask you to be on staff and you're not ready to be a staff member, doesn't show a lot of wisdom on his part. I said, and he's a good man, but he chews through a lot of staff people. I've known him for about 30 years. He eats them up fast. He's gone through 7 Christian school administrators in 10 years. That's not a good position, amen? I said, you need to find somewhere to go get under a man of God that's going to love you and heal you and get you ready to go back into the ministry. Not beat the tar out of you. I said, I love you. I said, this is the first time you and I have ever talked. Well, I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to tell you the truth. I said, you need to get yourself ready for service. You're not there. I said, you'll lose your family. You'll lose everything. You say, you shouldn't tell people that. Well, I'll tell them the truth. I'll save his marriage. I'll save his family. I'll save his ministry. And God will put him back into the ministry someday if he'll get a chance to heal up. And God can use him mightily. Say, why? But we got to separate him. God's got to pull him aside and separate him. Folks, that's the purpose of separation. It's not all the little petty things you think I'm going to talk about. It's not all those pet little peeves you think I have. The question is this, is God enough for you? Do you want God to be your inheritance? God knows this is true. My mom and dad are sitting right back there. You've heard me say it before. I'm going to say it again. I hope they die penniless and spend everything they have. I don't care about what they have. I want them. I don't want their things. I might want a couple of my dad's guns. No. I'm serious. When both of my parents go to heaven, there's going to be no fighting between my brother and I. You know why? He don't want their things. I don't want their things. And if he wants them, he's got them. I won't fight over it. I want them. I don't care about the things. I just want them. I do. I really don't care. Say why? Things are things. I can replace things. Can't replace those two people. The relationship can't be replaced. That's what we're looking for. Don't you want a relationship with your God? Wouldn't you like to have access to all that he is? Can I tell you something? The moment you trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior, he made you power of attorney. And you got it. Now, are you going to act the part or not? That's the question. Every head bowed, every eye closed. The priesthood. Oh, it's not a bunch of people walking around in long robes singing holy, 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 oohing and aahing, acting all kinds of weird, crazy stuff in dark rooms. It is a matter of the fact that God separated you to become a priest and a joint heir with Jesus Christ. He made you to serve him in some capacity. Maybe it's mowing grass. Maybe it's changing the diapers in the nursery. Maybe it's helping with food. Maybe it's this, that, or the other thing. I don't know what it is. Maybe it's setting up the chairs. Maybe it's the assembling of the buildings. Whatever your job is, that's part of the priesthood. And you are a priest with God when you get saved.